From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A Portrait of a President, a probe of Southern cuisine, a reboot of the Black Panther comic books. We've got books suitable for all the readers in your life, young and old, fans of pop and counterculture. These titles are perfect to read over the holidays, to give as gifts, or to share among friends. Colin Nowakowski of Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House and Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library share their picks for the best recent books. Taylor suggests Walter Isaacson's biography of Leonardo da Vinci.
Da Vinci, who is known for two of the most famous paintings in the world, The Last Supper and The Mona Lisa, did not consider himself a painter. He considered himself an engineer.
Books for everyone on your list, including you, on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. With the early sunsets and falling temperatures of winter, a book can offer transport to another time or place, be a tool for reflection, or provide a spark for conversation. And if you're still hunting for the perfect gift, you can't go wrong with a book. Two book connoisseurs join us today. They come bearing recommendations of titles that range from suspense and action to a history of Southern cooking by authors both well-established and brand new. Deborah Taylor, Coordinator for School and Student Services at the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Welcome back, Deborah.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you. And Colin Nowakowski, a member of the book team at Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House in Baltimore Station North neighborhood. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Let's start with books of photography. Colin, you've brought two books by local photographers, both sharing their unique views of the city. A Beautiful Ghetto by Devin Allen and Perspective Baltimore by Kyle Pompey.
These are both titles which I anticipated greatly this year. Beautiful Ghetto a bit more so because it's been in the works for some time, and Devin's work really came to the national stage when his photo of the Baltimore uprising was featured as the cover of Time magazine, and it was one of the very few Time magazine covers featuring a independent amateur photographer. It's something that really propelled his work to prominence. He was working on Instagram and his followers shot up dramatically, and he continued to sort of use that motivation to really drive him forward in capturing everyday life in Baltimore. So it's really a valuable work, as is Kyle's, because they both come from people who were born, raised, and live in Baltimore.
And Devin Allen's A Beautiful Ghetto includes essays and commentary by writers like Tariq Ture, Dee Watkins, Wes Moore. What would you say sets Kyle Pompey's book apart? I'm not as familiar
Got
with
it.
His work, so what
Yes.
would I get in that book?
So he wanted to do something that was a little bit different and make it a unique book for everyone's shelf so that everyone's shelf would have a unique version. So what he did was each photograph is paired with just a blank page or blank lines that allow the reader to describe their interpretation of the photo.
So it becomes your book.
Indeed.
Yeah. Deborah Taylor, you've selected two memoirs, both by women who have had lengthy acting careers.
Yes. The first is one by Jennifer Lewis, and it is The Mother of Black Hollywood. And she's one of these faces that everyone knows. She was the mother of Whitney Houston and Preacher's Wife. She was the mother of Tina Turner and What's Love Got to Do with It. So she's one of these people you say, oh, I recognize her. And she talks about how she's had all of these roles, but she also talks about the difficulties of being an African-American woman in Hollywood and also her own bout with mental illness and some of the other things that have, kind of derailed her career. Right now, she's having quite a star turn as the grandmother in Blackish. Turkish. So she's got another hit where more people can see her work.
Right, but this sounds like a memoir that goes pretty deep.
It does go pretty
deep.
She's very honest. She doesn't shy away from her own role and her difficulties. So it's fascinating to read someone who really keeps it very real and also talks about her own life experiences and what led her to be kind of one of those faces that you recognize, one of those character actors that you recognize.
And then you also brought, it's a wonderful title, We're Going to Need More Wine.
You know, Gabrielle Union is one of these actresses who's been around for a while. She has been doing some great work on cable TV, but she's also been very outspoken about things like Black Lives Matter. She has also been very outspoken about some of the issues around sexual assault. A lot of the people who have taken prominence of that have not necessarily been women of color. So she talks very honestly about that experience. She also talks about the difficulty. She's married to a celebrity, to Dwayne Wade. She talks about the difficulty of being a stepmother, raising or helping to raise his three boys. But she's really smart. She'd gone to a school where she was one of the few African Americans in that school. So she's had a long life of trying to cope with some of our difficulties in terms of racial identity and also conflict.
It's Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also here is Colin Nowakowski of Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee Shop. They're sharing their picks for those looking to relax with a good book or perhaps buy one as a gift this holiday season. You both listed some books for younger readers. Colin, tell us about Little Leaders, Bold Women in Black History by Vashti Harrison.
This has been a really exciting book that just came out just in the past month or so. And one of the things that we try to focus on at our store is especially having representative children's books. So what's exciting about this book is it's a book about inspiring Black women, many of whose politics and activities at times were marginalized or even criminalized, people from Harriet Tubman to Angela Davis. Everyone who's in there is someone who's done something that I think is positive and powerful and that you could learn from. And it's not just the fact that they did it, but that they did something of value.
Deborah, many of our listeners may be familiar with the young adult novel and film The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. In that book, he tackled the heartbreak of cancer and the joy of young love. His new book, Turtles All the Way Down, deals with mental illness.
John Green is more than just a young adult author. He has a huge following on social media. He and his brother have a vlog called Nerd Fighters. So you have kids who've come to John Green by reading his books, and you have kids who've come to his books by following him on social media. So they kind of meet in the middle. But he's also been very outspoken about his own issues with OCD. And this is probably
obsessive compulsive
disorder. And this is the first time he has incorporated that into one of his characters, one of his primary characters in this new book. It's a story about Asa, who kind of feels like she's outside of her own body sometimes. So he really does a great job of describing how that feels. And when she finds out that a local billionaire has disappeared, and it turns out that his son is someone that she knows, she decides she's going to help solve this case. So if you can imagine a young person dealing with her own mental illness and then trying to solve a puzzle, and also with all the voices and all the things that she's telling herself, he really does a great job of depicting how a young person with a disability still tries to do all of those teenage things. And so he takes a different take on the traditional YA novel, but he has such a huge following, it's already on the bestseller list.
And for those who grew up with comic books or are buying for a teen who is into superheroes, they can check out Ta-Nehisi Coates' take on the Black Panther.
Yes, this has been really exciting kind of breakthrough comic that started being released as single issues about a year and a half ago. This hardcover collects the first 12 issues of the current Marvel Black Panther series that Ta-Nehisi Coates has been writing. And it's largely illustrated by Brian Stelfreeze, who is someone who was kind of out of the scene for a while, and it's pretty exciting to see him back producing such beautiful work as he has been. It's also cool because a lot of parents are probably reading Coates, reading his books, reading him in The Atlantic, et cetera. And it's a way to share an author with the whole family and maybe also get those people engaged in comic books. And I have been seeing a lot of people who otherwise don't buy comics buying Coates. And honestly, I prefer his comic book writing.
We, on that note, need to take a quick break. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Colin Nowakowski of Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House and Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. We're talking about the best books of 2017, some you might think about as a holiday gift. And when we come back, artists, a general, demon deer, and more. This is On the Record. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Whether you'll be traveling for the holidays or curling up on the couch, a good book makes a great companion. Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library and Colin Nowakowski of Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House have joined us to share their top book picks for 2017. Let's turn to some history. Author Walter Isaacson has come out with a biography of the painter, sculptor, inventor, and literally Renaissance man, Leonardo da Vinci, based on da Vinci's notebooks. Isaacson previously profiled Einstein, Benjamin Franklin, Henry Kissinger, and Steve Jobs. Deborah, why should we be interested in this book?
Well, it's more than just a biography of Leonardo da Vinci. It's actually a study of what is genius. Of course, using Leonardo da Vinci as the primary source there. I found it so interesting that da Vinci, who is known for two of the most famous paintings in the world, The Last Supper and The Mona Lisa, did not consider himself a painter. He considered himself an engineer, and that was what he was most inspired by, inventing things and thinking of how things worked and improving things. And so this book really does let you do a deep dive into that mind that he had. And it's also so interesting that he's such an outsider. He was everything that gets people lots of difficulties these days. He was gay. He just had a totally different lifestyle for his era. So I think that there are a lot of things about da Vinci that would capture the contemporary reader.
And he also tended to have trouble finishing projects once he'd lost interest in them.
He was a person who probably had some kind of attention issue. He did lose interest in a lot of things. And he also destroyed a lot of his own work because he was not satisfied. He was a perfectionist. But he also, when he was drawing, he was also interested in the engineering aspect of it, getting it right, getting the proportions right, not so much the things that we might appreciate art for, the reason we might go see the Mona Lisa. I don't think I realized that the Mona Lisa was considered unfinished. But, you know, he'd never considered himself a painter.
Another biography you recommend, Deborah, is about a failed businessman who resigned from the army due to his struggle with alcoholism. Who was this man?
This was Grant. This was
Ulysses S.
Grant. And ever since the Hamilton phenomenon was brought on by a book that Lin-Manuel Miranda read by Ron Chernow, they've been waiting for what Ron Chernow would do next. And this time he turned his attention to an American general and an American president. And there was kind of conventional wisdom that Grant was a failure at everything. But I understand that historians have begun to look at Grant a little differently. And so Chernow takes the same route. He obviously likes his subject. It's not a fawning biography by any stretch of the imagination. He definitely talks about Grant's difficulties, but you're struck by the strength of character. I mean, the way he dealt with his, towards the end of his life, with cancer, to struggle to get those, to get his memoir written, is very inspiring in a lot of ways. And it gives you a different take on that time period.
Cullen, for someone looking to learn about part of history that's mostly been excluded or glossed over, a new edition of Susan Stryker's Transgender History covers the important people and events that have shaped the social and legal recognition of trans individuals.
Yes, so an earlier edition of this book came out in 2008, and it was a solid but pretty thin overview, maybe less than 200 pages. This one is greatly expanded. It's about twice as long, and it just really catches up a lot because in the past 8 or 10 years, so much has happened. So much has happened in terms of people's understanding of the concepts, people's understanding of the legality, that there have been major issues and debates and public legal issues regarding trans rights. And people's understanding has expanded a lot in the broader sense, but also within academia, within the actual trans communities. The lexicon that's used has gone through some transformations, and this kind of gets it all up to date. And I love to recommend these types of titles to people who are like, I'm trying to get something for my uncle who, they're pretty good, but they just don't understand this. And this is a kind of book, you know, it's not super academic. It has history, it has biography in it, it has sort of learning aids in it in order to kind of ease comprehension and to facilitate people's digestion of the concepts.
Deborah, you brought us The Cooking Gene by culinary historian Michael Twitty, which is part memoir, part history, sprinkled with recipes. Why did you choose that?
If you want to study culture, you study food, and you learn how people have used food. And in his mind, he believes that Southern cooking is how Southerners define themselves in a lot of ways. But he also talks about all the influences. So you really get a picture of that region. He talks about the Native American influences. He talks, of course, about African American influences. He talks about the various ways that Southern cooking has defined the Southern personality. And it's also a very personal story about his cooking with his mother and his grandmother and other people in his family. So it really does give you a real sense of the role of African-American cookery in the South.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library and Cullen Nowakowski of Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House. They're sharing their picks for those looking to relax with a good book this holiday season or those looking to buy one for someone on their gift list. Cullen, you've brought us a book sort of mysterious, suspenseful, dark, and humorous, a story by an author with a connection to Red Emma's.
Yes, Margaret Kiljoy was a habitué of Emma's for quite some time, especially in our early days. A fan of science fiction, a fan of fantasy, and also a diehard anarchist, and started kind of doing independent zines about steampunk and horror stories and things of that nature, and also ghostwriting romance novels.
That's
so this book is very significant for
this
us.
This book is called
The Lamb Will Slaughter the Lion. Yes, and it's really exciting to see this formally come out under Margaret's name with a big publisher, and we had a launch event for it a few months ago.
So this book has utopian anarchists and they're fighting rogue demon deer. I guess it's kind of a punk fantasy.
That's a great way to describe it. It's a great way to describe Margaret's work in general. And it's very much a sort of synthesis of these two passions, anarchism and fantasy. And it's really cool to be able to promote a book like this that was not only written by a friend, but also that contains a political vision in addition to sort of fantastical one.
Another title in the vein of science fiction and fantasy, Deborah, you've picked Year One by Nora Roberts, a number one New York Times bestseller. Roberts lives in Keedysville, Maryland.
Yes, and I was so intrigued by this book because, you know, everyone has an expectation of what they're going to get when they get a Nora Roberts. I mean, she's known for her romances. She's known for her romantic suspense. But this time she kind of takes a little bit of a different slant. Year One is actually more dystopian fiction. In this case, a plague wipes out billions of people on the planet. And so the survivors have to figure out how they're going to live from this point on. And what also occurs as a result of this is that there's a rise of dark and light magic. And so you have a good and evil kind of struggle. And you have a couple, and they're, of course, if you're Nora Roberts, there's going to be some romance, who are about to have a child. And it's obvious even before the child is born that the child is going to have really important magical abilities. So I cannot wait, because this is obviously going to be more than one book. There's probably going to be a series. It sounds like, you know, she has taken a whole different tack from the kinds of books that we know for her.
I was about to say, this is not what I expect from Nora Roberts. No. Now you're telling me this may be what I should be expecting from Nora Roberts.
Well, I mean, I think she's been very successful, and she's written a lot of books, and she has a huge following. But I think it does have a trademark storytelling. So I think her followers will go with her. I don't think they'll be disappointed.
And finally, Colin, I turn to you for the book that is called Finally Got the News, The Printed Legacy of the U.S. Radical Left by Bradley Duncan.
Yes, this is a work of someone who was sort of an amateur archivist of the radical left, and with a specific focus on the 1970s, which, when people talk about the history of the new left and social movements like civil rights and black liberation, a lot of people conceptualize that as having occurred strictly in the 1960s. And what's really exciting about this is that it's not only a beautifully put together just assemblage of imagery and iconography, newspaper covers and pamphlets and posters that were designed to excite people as well as inform them about the global struggles of African people, Asian people, fighting against imperialism, fighting against militarism, queer liberation. A lot of these movements actually deepened their analysis during the 70s, but it's not just dry. It's very visually exciting, and this book is very visually exciting, and it also contains essays from many movement veterans contextualizing all this imagery.
So who is this the perfect book for?
I would definitely say if you have a parent who maybe lived through that time or was a little bit too young for it, this might rekindle some memories, especially if they're of the more countercultural bent. But also for younger people who have never been exposed to this, but maybe they're excited by movements like Black Lives Matter or movements against climate change, to see some of their forebears. It's really exciting way to connect them with that history.
Interesting ideas on all fronts. I really appreciate your sharing these books with us. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Deborah Taylor is coordinator for school and student services at the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Colin Nowakowski is a member of the book team at Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House. We have all their book recommendations listed at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening and happy reading. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.